In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Love is creative and redemptive. Love builds up and unites. Hate tears down and destroys. The aftermath of the fight with fire method, which you suggest, is bitterness and chaos. The aftermath of the love method is reconciliation and creation of the beloved community. Words of Martin Luther King Jr. writing in Ebony magazine in 1957. In our Pilgrims class last Wednesday, we explored the incarnation and how Jesus is the perfect image of God, who came to restore that image in each one of us, marred as it was by the fall from grace. Jesus, himself full of grace and truth, came to restore the broken relationship between God and those whom he had made in his image. There were two little words that kept appearing in our class. Those words were love and glory. They may be short words, but as Michael Ramsay used to love to say, they are two of the most powerful in the Christian vocabulary. Epiphany is the season in which we think of the glory of the incarnation made manifest in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. That life and ministry gave humankind the opportunity to relearn how to love God as the Father loves. As we shall sing in the preface of the Great Thanksgiving today, because in the mystery of the Word made flesh, thou hast caused a new light to shine in our hearts, to give the knowledge of thy glory in the face of thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Bible is filled with images of the glory of God. From the creation of the world in the first book of the Bible to the vision of the new heaven and a new earth in the last book of the Bible, God's glory is made manifest in so many ways, but ultimately in the life of Jesus, who, as we read in the letter to the Hebrews, is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. Jesus came to bring humankind back into a loving relationship with the Creator, to live in God's love, and to be united in that love, thus discovering the glory of God. Jesus gave a new commandment to his disciples to love one another just as he had loved them, so that they might be one and share in the glory that Jesus had with the Father. Listen to these beautiful words from the first letter of St. John. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. It's one of my favorite passages in the New Testament. Do you notice how John addresses the members of the church community as beloved? Notice too that we are to love one another, not because it's a nice human emotion, it's nice to do it, but because love comes from God. In fact, God is love. We are currently living in dangerous times, my friends, when glory and love are cheapened because they are rooted in human ambition or the abuse of the earth's resources or even of one another. More than ever, the church is called to live the life of the beloved community so that it is God's glory that is manifested in the world. If, like me, you now hesitate to turn on the news on the radio in the morning for fear of hearing of yet more division, more violence, more bloodshed, then it's good you braved the horrible rain to be here today, to hear good news. Jesus prayed this to his heavenly Father. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one, as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. The revelation of God's glory comes through love, and that means that our Christian communities must be crucibles of God's love, so that his glory is revealed in the world. It's not enough to say that we are an inclusive church or an inclusive community where all are welcomed. We have to live out the reality of the beloved community, knowing that I too am beloved of God. I have to say, when I was a teenager, I used to hate all the signs and all the churches I saw where I grew up. Outside, it said in big letters, "All are welcome," when it was clearly apparent to me that they didn't put it into practice. Paul's two letters, not one, but two letters to the Corinthian church reveal this was a struggle from the very beginning of the church's history. Now, my friends, the Corinthian church was very inclusive for its time in its Greek society. Women were in positions of leadership. Slaves were welcomed into the worshiping community. Different ethnicities into the fellowship. But where it fell short was its fixation with status, class, wealth, education, and most of all, your place in society. And Paul had to take them to task on this so many times. You see, the beloved community is not simply about racial color blindness, and neither is it about simply gender equality and inclusion. They're all good. They come naturally to a community living in God's love. I think living as a beloved community is far harder than dealing with issues. It's dealing with people you don't understand in the first place. It's putting into practice the love we find difficult to share because sometimes we find it hard to love ourselves. It means also accepting change and being prepared to be challenged. So often, my friends, churches are the antithesis of the beloved community because people try to live only in the past and what is comfortable to them. And when change comes, which is always inevitable, they lash out because they feel threatened or let down. We are all made in the image of God. But like the Corinthian church, we must make sure we do not try to make the church community in our own image and likeness. As Dr. King said, love builds up and unites. Hate tears down and destroys. That's why churches where there's division don't grow. Now, his life was not perfect. We all know that. Dr. King made many mistakes. In some respect, he lived a life of contradiction. But that life of contradiction was rooted in the search for the love that is promised to each one of us by Jesus. Here at St. Thomas, each of us are on a journey of discovery. The discovery that God loves us even before we learn to love him. And that his glory, not our own, is the hope for the world's future. Actions speak louder than words, they say. Which is why, I guess, we say, the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we beheld his glory. My friends, this week, let's try and not turn the Word made flesh back into mere words.